Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And it is Friday.
It is. We're here.
Yep, we made it. You're fucking making fun of me doing the intro.
I'm just mouthing the words with you.
Look, I'm predictable, okay? We're finishing this week out.
Yeah. This is a good...
It's a good episode. It's going to kind of tease a little bit of next week. Next week's going to be
a banging
week, kind of a sad week, if I'm gonna be honest with you.
That's all right. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
We'll get there next week. But for today, the Sardaukar have arrived.
Yes, they have. I love this entrance.
So we had the from Wednesday's episode, the Harkonnen ships kind of patrolling around the desert, looking clearly the Nexus has been found.
Yep.
And Sardaukar have appeared. And this is one of the coolest shots in the movie, I think. Like this is a top five shot in the movie.
Well, I remember this being in like promotional material for the movie. Maybe not initial promotional material, but like kind of like the second or third wave of it. We'll talk about it. I'm jumping ahead, but just the shot of the Sardaukar like floating down, and then like the group of them, like just the stark contrast between the dark background and how lit up they are. I was like, this is fucking cool.
Well, let's just get into it.
Yeah.
So starting the minute off, or we ended last minute with the Fremen that were sitting around drinking their spit coffee suddenly being alerted to something. There was some shushing, and then we just had the hard cut. And we cut to the ground first.
Yeah.
But it's not where the Fremen were sitting. It's the ground in the Nexus area. So
it's like underneath the skylight.
Yeah. Which if you look at any of the behind the scenes photos from this scene, the Nexus is only just like a small, maybe like 15 foot by 15 foot box. Everything else is all CGI and stuff, but they did it really cool with like sand screens and stuff to just kind of help make it feel bigger.
Okay.
In that space. But we're looking at the ground, and then we cut to the sky, and we see just like the foot of a Harkonnen slowly start to descend.
We do. I want to spend just a little bit of time talking about before that first.
Okay.
So that shot of the shadows being cast by the beams, is where we see the first sign of like activity up there.
Yep.
And I swear I missed this for the longest time. I think it was only on this rewatch that I noticed
where you actually go in and you're pixel peeping and you're like, holy shit. Yeah.
Well, and you see just the tiny shadow of a head poke out on top of one of those beams.
To me, it's very much like almost like a Jaws moment.
Sure. Yeah.
Where it's like, oh shit, there's the fin.
Yep. Yeah. No. I like that. But you just see that tiny little head peek out, in the shadows again, being cast from way up high, and the camera looks up and you see the person who cast the shadow just kind of peeking down, looking into the open area of the Nexus. And then behind that pillar that they're standing on, that's when you see the Sardaukar start to float down, and they are indeed Sardaukar.
And I love this scene because it's perfectly still. It's perfectly silent.
Nothing.
The Sardaukar think that they have the drop on everyone, and that's why they're not saying anything. You don't even hear like they're breathing through their helmets or whatever.
Because
in the scene on Salusa Secundus, second Salsa, you do hear like how loud the breathing is in a Sardaukar helmet. It's not full Darth Vader, but it's definitely like, you know, your typical breathing in a helmet sounds.
Sure.
So the fact that they're deliberately being so silent, trying to be sneaky and everything, does show a degree of the
skill, the training.
Sure. Yeah. The Navy SEAL team.
The
Navy Teals. Yeah. The Navy SEAL, kind of, I guess, portrayal that you want to have of these guys, even though they're, well, no one in this movie is a good guy, but
no,
they're the quote unquote bad guys of this movie.
Yeah. They, I mean, they've had, clearly, they've had some kind of like covert operations training.
Sure. They land on the ground and just kind of begin to move in formation and everything. And we see one of the cups kind of half buried in the sand.
Yeah. Which leads me to believe, and that maybe this, I mean, this is obvious, I think, but they did not see the Fremen down there.
No. The Fremen were gone before. And yeah. That's the thing. Even with them being as quiet and as silent as they were, the Fremen still detected them and they knew that something was up.
Yeah, exactly.
And they also knew to properly drain the cup because all the sand around the cup was still perfectly dry. Yep. It was not a single drop of water wasted. Well,
whoever was drinking it just chugged it real quick, tossed it back.
Threw that spit back a little bit and just went on their way.
Yep. And what we come to find out here, and as the Sardaukar are walking forward, we get a couple of words from the lead troop. And all of a sudden, it's just like an eruption from the underneath them, the sand.
And once again, this is not the first time that we've seen this in the movie, but this is the most chaotic version of it that we've seen.
Yep.
Because in minute two or minute three, I don't remember which one, we see kind of the slow motion attack against the Harkonnen, guards outside of their spice harvester. And then in Paul's vision, we see a more wide scale battle, whereas this is that, ultimate guerrilla warfare, just kind of quick and dirty attack.
Yeah. And the Fremen have hid themselves underneath the sand. The folks who were drinking coffee only moments ago, hanging out, very quickly and very expertly hid themselves underneath the sand. So probably had to use one of those sand compactors that we saw Paul and them get out of the tent with.
Yep. I mean, it'd be the only thing that would move the sand that quickly. So.
Yeah. Which, I don't know, just goes to show like how efficient and how stealthy the Fremen truly are. Like this incredibly impressive. And yeah, they start popping up. There's like, these puffs of sand that go up, and the Fremen are popping up, and they're starting to murk these Sardaukar.
Yeah.
Not for too long, but they definitely get the surprise attack.
Yeah. They get the drop on them, and they get a few taken care of.
Yeah.
And then we hard cut.
Yep. To a hand with a beetle on it.
To a familiar beetle that we've seen before.
Have we?
Yes. So, in the scene where Duncan and Paul first talk for the first time in the movie, and Paul talks about how he's seen that Duncan dies on Arrakis, we see this beetle in a moment of a vision.
Oh, okay.
At that time.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. I completely missed that. Completely forgot about it.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's Duncan. The beetle's crawling across Duncan's hand.
Duncan's just playing with bugs.
Yeah. He's looking at trees earlier. Now he's playing with bugs.
Yeah.
He's just a wholesome kid at heart.
Yeah.
And his attention is drawn elsewhere, and he looks up and he looks up noticingly, really. Yeah. He's just,
here's some thuds in the background and kind of starts to look around him, and that's where our minute ends.
That's right where it ends. Yep.
Yep.
So any more movie notes before I jump into my just handful of book notes?
No more movie notes there.
Okay.
Cool. Everything from Art and Soul for this whole sequence is, the remaining stuff we'll talk about more next week when we're actually in Kynes's lab a little more. So.
Okay. Cool. So this fight between the Sardaukar and the Fremen is naturally much less dramatic in the books.
Sure.
It's very brief as well. Like it's only really described in like a paragraph or so. And without giving away too much for next week, this happens, just like the movie, this happens right after Paul and Kynes are talking about their loyalty oath to each other. The fighting actually comes into the room that they're in.
Yeah.
And you know, they do some stuff and, you know, escape, which things we'll talk about next week more. And then, Khan says something, which I thought was kind of funny, kind of a brief moment of humor in the book. He goes, I should have suspected trouble when the coffee never arrived. So yeah, that's truly about all I can say for this without just completely getting into next week's stuff. So,
sure.
What do you say we end it there and let's give our ratings and get out of here early on a Friday.
Sure. I mean, it's a cool week.
It's a great week.
You know, I'm going to say a solid 6.5, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We get our quick moment of action at the end of the week. And then we really see Paul just kind of dig into that Kwisatz Haderach, I woke up, bitch, kind of moment there. So
yeah, I was gonna put this at a 7. I really enjoyed this block of minutes. The stuff that we get, like I love anything that, you know, expands the universe.
Yep.
Within the story, Paul talking to Kynes and, you know, laying out his plan, talking about how the other houses, you know, how they would react to them finding out. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Eat that shit up. So love it. It's not a very action forward, minute.
Nope.
Or week, I guess. But
from a larger perspective of the movie, right? 10, 15 minutes ago was all just like action and explosions, yeah, and shit. So yeah, this is still the come down from that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So yeah, I loved it. This is a great set of minutes. So I am excited to continue it next week.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back on Monday with more episodes of the Dune Minute. In the meantime, you can find us online on Instagram. We are at the Dune Minute. We are at Dune Minute on Twitter, and you can email duneminute@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening. Feel free to share and rate and comment, like the show,
like and subscribe,
send it to your dog, send it to your cat, send it to your grandma, whoever you want to. We'll see you guys on Monday.
See you then.